that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. He is Lord. That means whatever He says is the final word. Whatever He decrees is ultimately what happens. And it is His will on a macro level that will be done. When it comes to your own life, you do make some decisions and you do make some choices, and you and I bear the consequences for our decisions and choices. But overall, in all of this, God's will is going to be done. We can make a decision if we want to align ourselves with His will and be part of that flow and be part of what He's doing, or we can, of our free will, reject truth and go against Him and go against that which is real and be part of the world and be part of that system that is on the losing side, on the opposing side, on the place of a horrible end. You know, we have the choice if we want to go that way. That is there. That is available. But for everyone that has not just been called, but has responded to that call, the many are called, but the chosen are few. Those that have responded and have aligned themselves and becoming one of the chosen of God, we have an incredible inheritance in Him. And that's not something that starts tomorrow. That's something that is here for us even right now. When we walk in that place of eternity, when we walk in that place of spirit, when we walk in the redemptive rights that we have as sons and daughters of the living God, and the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus, because the old man is dead at the cross, the new man is who we live in Christ Jesus, because He is the resurrection and the life, and the resurrection and life lives in us when we've received it. So we live in our inheritance now. We move on in our inheritance now. To live as Christ and to die as gain. So yes, while we're here, also in this paradigm, there are some elements of limitation because of the physical body that we live in, because that's part of the paradigm. You know, in order to be here, you've got to be in a body, because that's kind of the ground rules of being in this paradigm. Sort of a little bit of an exchange. If you're going to be able to be here on the earth, you need an earth suit. Just like if you're going to be on the moon, you need a moon suit, because you can't exist in that on that place without that. So here, within this paradigm, you need to be in the body. So to be in the body, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be in the body is to be in the earth, and to be a part and parcel of what God is doing here right now if you are one of His. So if you are one of His, if you have responded to the call, if you have allowed the Spirit of God to work in you, if you have, of your free will, bowed your knee before the King of Kings and said, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, not mine, Yours. I'm going to align myself with truth, Your kingdom, Your direction. It's all about You. We're good there. And you've allowed Him to take you in and through. You are going to be part of what God is doing in the earth right now. Now, like I said, you know, like we said here, that it's going to be His will that's going to be done on a macro level for sure. So you can either flow with Him and be along the lines of Moses, or you can oppose Him and be along the lines of Pharaoh. But either way, His will is going to be done. And so God gets the glory out of the life of Moses, and God gets the glory out of the life of Pharaoh. Pharaoh and his opposition, hardening his heart, doubling down on corruption, on trying to oppress the people of God, on turning his back on God, turning his back on truth, turning his back on that which was revealed and known, and all the consequences that came to him, even to the point of losing his firstborn son, and his entire nation being destroyed and tore up. You can go that way, in opposing the light and the truth as it comes in, or you can flow with that which God is doing, which in the case of Moses, hey, all you need is a stick. You don't even need that. You just need the word in you. God will just use a stick just to make a point. Just even a stick in the hands of somebody that walks with the Spirit of God can strike fear into the heart of any nation, can strike tremendous terror into the workers of iniquity, can be used by God to do incredible things. So whatever it is that you have in your hand, whatever it is that God has placed in your hand, as small, as insignificant as it may seem, God can use that to do incredible exploits if you just put it down at His feet, if you just leave it at His feet. You know, we talked about this some time back maybe, but you know, if you look at even that story where God asked Moses, you know, at the burning bush, what you got in your hand, Moses? And he said, it's a staff, and God told him to throw it down. And after that, from that point when he took it back up again, at first he ran from it, you know, the representation of his ability as a shepherd, the last thing that he trusted in was his ability to take care of a few sheep on the backside of the desert. At least that's something he couldn't screw up, because everything else, for 40 years, he had just come to the end of his belief and trust in anything else. And if there was one thing that he knew that he couldn't screw up, it was taking care of a few sheep. You know, at least, well, I can't mess that up. And even with that, when that staff turned into a serpent, turned into a snake, and Moses ran away from that, it was just, that's it. That was the last representation of anything that was left in this life and in this world that he trusted in. And when he took that back up, and God built Moses back up from the ground up, you know, he had to strip him first to nothing before he could build him up into what he wanted him to be. And from that place, God used his life to do incredible things. Now, you know, so often we fight against the breaking process, the stripping process of God, but it's necessary. It's essential. It's required. Because otherwise, there's so much in us that the world has tried to program into us that gets in the way of what God is doing. And we will oftentimes try to rationalize and reason and make things work according to whatever our background or our programming is. So Moses had to be stripped to the very foundation, because in the end, when things would come forward like the Ten Commandments or like the early law for the children of Israel or so many other things, God did not want that stuff to be tainted by the experiences of Moses' past and the experiences of Moses' thought process. He wanted Moses to be just a clear channel through which that which he wanted to do would happen. And you can see even the very time when Moses messed up with that, when he was at the rock and God told him to speak to the rock and he ended up hitting the rock. And you can see the dire consequences even in Moses' own personal experience, where just that one thing alone kept him from going into the promised land. Because it was serious stuff. You know, and part of what happened with Paul, God bless him. Bless Paul. You know, thank God for Paul and thank God for the letters and the epistles and all that's there. But if you read in Acts 20 and you see what Paul said, he says right there that the system that was set up, he says, I know that after I'm gone, I'm not going to see you guys again. And I know that after I'm gone, savage wolves are going to come in and they're going to scatter the flock. Now, and he told them, he encouraged them to hold on to their faith. Why did he need to tell them that? Because part of Paul's own struggle was to try to put in place an infrastructure for that which God was doing. But what crept in also in the midst of that was a way that things could be corrupted and used to manipulate, to control, to and you know, once the personality of Paul was out of the way, that's exactly what happened. Savage wolves came in and scattered the flock. And if you read in the book of Jude, and he says it, it's happened at that point. So before Paul said it's going to happen, and then afterwards Paul, in the book of Jude, it had happened. So the structure itself that he was trying, God bless him for trying, but also realize the lesson that he conveyed there. And so when you see the corruption in what is the modern day church, quote unquote church, it's not the true church. The true church of the living God are those that are led by the Spirit. They are the sons and daughters of the living God. It is not those that go on Sunday. Those are not. The wheat and the tares grow together, so those are not. Those that are led by the Spirit, they are the true sons and daughters of the living God. It's a totally different thing. So don't judge by mere appearances. Make a right judgment. You know, here, let me get this scripture for you. There's a couple of points I want to touch on here. John 7. And verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, it is but his that sent me. If any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast the devil. Who goest about to kill thee?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I have made a man ever wit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Oh man, there's so much in the scriptures. There's so much in the word. It is exciting. The truth of the word of the living God is exciting. You will never ever understand the word without the Spirit. The Spirit is what gives life to it. So all you code breakers out there, you will never ever ever understand any of this unless you have the Spirit of God in you. It is sealed in eternity, and only those that are eternal beings can access that. You cannot access the truth of the Word of God based on being stuck and apart from that which is eternal. You can know little facts, you can know little bits and pieces, you can know chunks of history, but you will never ever understand the truth. Because it is the Spirit of truth that gives life. It is the Spirit of truth that works through the people of the living God. It is the Spirit of truth that show and reveal that which is real. Jesus said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Because you know why? You go back one verse. Let me go back just one verse. Actually, let's go back to. Now, about the mist of verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knowest this man letters, having never learned?" And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So oftentimes people start wondering because it doesn't make sense how the people of God do what they do. It doesn't make sense how we live the way we live. It doesn't make sense how we can understand and we can see through what the world is doing and cut straight to the quick, go straight to the heart of the matter, because how can we do this having never gone through their schools of thought, having never been vetted by their system? How do you understand how to do what you do without having gone through the process that they say needs to happen for you to be able to do what you do? How do you sing the way that you sing? How do you come up with the art the way that you come up with the art that you do? How do you make the decisions that you make? How do you do that, having never studied the letters and gone through their schools and their processes? How do you do all that? But for the one that flows with the Spirit of God, our doctrine is not ours. It's the one that Him that sent us. The words that we speak are not ours. It's from the one that sent us. It's from Him, because we're connected to the head. Christ Jesus is the head. We are the body. We are all different parts of the body, doing as the head wills while we are in the earth. And it is an amazing thing. It is an amazing experience. And no man will ever understand it apart from those that are walking in the Spirit. And if you are walking in the Spirit, then the words that are spoken, you recognize those that are also part of the body. So that's why when we speak, like here on Faith Mix, faithmix.com. You come here, and for those that listen and it resonates with you, it resonates with you. Why? Because you're part of the body. And you know another part of the body because we're all connected to the head. So the words that we speak are the words that are what God would have to go out to the body. And likewise, we receive from other places in the body because one joint supplieth the need of another. So even as it says, in Ephesians 4, I believe, but one joint supplieth the need of another. God has put different pieces in the body for different functions and different tasks, and this is also part of it. When you are connected to the head, and when you do that which the Spirit of God has for you to do, that will flow. And will flow through the gifts, the calling, the ability, the skills, all that God has put in you, and there will be a fulfilled life. There will be joy in what you do. There will be anticipation in what you do. There will be freedom in what you do. For freedom, Christ Jesus set us free. There will be a peace in all that you're about, even if you are surrounded, and when you are surrounded by external turmoil on every side, there will be peace within. And, you know, as we are continuing this transition from dark to light and from the power of Satan unto God, as we transition through and out of this age, you're going to see a lot of things get a strong upheaval, because anytime that there's any type of transition, those that are a part of the old guard will fight tooth and nail to keep their hold. And they will do all that they can to try to avoid a transition. Because people that are in power, historically, have very, very seldomly chose to relinquish or release power. That's the nature of the fallen man. Now, the people that are in the kingdom of God are different. Jesus Christ was different. When Jesus came to the world, He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has exalted Him and given Him a name that's above every other name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ indeed is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You know, all right, let me grab that scripture for you. Ah, love the word. Philippians 2, verse. You know, I'm just going to start at verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If therefore, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ah, praise God. Yeah. So, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Well, with Jesus, when they're asking him about his doctrine, little tea, I love this stuff. Jesus, when they're asking him about his doctrine, he said, look, it's from the one that sent me. I'm not speaking of myself. And for us, so if let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, we let it flow from him. So that which we do is in connection with him. So even now, as I speak, and as the words flow forward from God, it's not mine. It's the one that sent me. Because we too have been sent by God. We too have been brought into the earth by God. We too are servants of the living God. We too are sons and daughters of the living God. Jesus Christ is the gate. He is the doorway. And as we have accessed the very throne of God through our connection that we have with and in him, because in him we live and move and have our being, out of that place that we live and out of that place that we move, we the very words that we speak, when your heart is, when you've set your heart on things above, when you have allowed for the Spirit of God to fully be consummated with every area of your life, it flows. And that which we do in the earth flows from him. Now, it's amazing that Jesus, being God, chose to humble himself at the will of God and become a man. And how many men in this day and age, in their arrogance and in their ignorance, would and are trying to be God. You can see the contrast between the way the world is and the way that the kingdom of God and the people of God are. See, we, the children of God, we submit ourselves to the will of God, and whatever it is that God would have us to do, that we do. So if it is a low position, we will take up that low position and do it as unto God. Whether it's a high position, we will take up that high position and do that as unto God. But whether it be low or whether it be high in the eyes of the world, it's of little consequence. What it matters is being in step with God and doing that role in the body according to the will and the desire of the head. Just like in your body you have a heart, and the heart is very important for your day-to-day functions. You need it to pump the blood throughout the entire system. That's a high position in your body. And you have, a baby pinky toe, which, you know, is there for balance, is there for a lot of little things. But you stub that toe, you're going to feel it, and your whole body's going to know there's a problem with that toe, and that toe is necessary for all kinds of little things. But it's subtle. But whatever position in the body, whatever is necessary, each piece serves its role and its function according to God's design, and you're part of the body. Because anywhere that the heart goes, the pinky toe goes too. Because the body is all connected. Any message that the head sends to the heart is a message sent to the body. It's the same message sent. It's part of the message is sent to the pinky. because they all are part and connected, but the heart has a different role to play. And same with the pinky toe. Same with the foot, same with the legs, same with the arms, same with the eye, same with the mouth, same with the nose, same with the ears, same with your lungs. Each part does a role. So embrace what God has for you. Don't wonder, why am I not doing this, or why am I not doing that, or why is somebody else? No, you know what? Here's also, this is part of the trap of religion. And this is also part of the way you can see it in the world, and you can see it come into organized religion too. Here, in the world, they've got to conform you so they can sell to you. So they need to get everybody to fit a certain box, and then because they want to subscribe to a particular viewpoint, and they don't want to be individuals themselves, they want somebody else to do that for them, because they want to be lazy in their thinking, and they want to be lazy in their mind, and they want to be slaves. So because of that, they conform them. And people choose to be conformed. And in religion, you see the same thing again and again. People choose to be conformed. So everybody wants to be a pinky toe. Everybody wants to be some piece. And it's not what they were made to be. So it's grotesque. Because there's not, there's certain things that are necessary. In a truly healthy, functioning body, you need different things, different parts, fulfilling their role. So, to come out from among them, to be ye separate, to touch not the unclean thing, and God will receive you. You need to separate yourself from that which is not, and be connected and be consummated with that which is. And then life will flow. Truth will flow. Peace will flow. Purpose will flow. Direction will flow. Your God-given right in the earth will flow. God's purpose for you in this life will flow. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water when you come unto Jesus and you are fused with Him. Not with religion, not, you do not need a man to stand between you and God. You know, that was the curse of the law. The curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. The old school curse of the law was that once a year the high priest would go in and offer sacrifices and do all these things, and if he didn't please God, if there was some issue there, they had to drag him out by his feet because nobody could go in after him. He had little bells even tied around his garments to even allow him to be in the Holy of Holies, and nobody could go in to get him. So if he died, there was a rope around his ankle, they had to yank him out. And that would happen. They would die in there. No, you need no man to get to God. Jesus Christ did it all, once and for all. The high priest, anointed in the order of Melchizedek. One high priest. Change of the priesthood, change of the system, transition of the way things that they always were. The sacrifice was made, and you and I have that life and truth and light, and which flows through us. Be what God made you to be now. What are you waiting for? Who are you waiting for? You want somebody to tell you it's okay? Are you waiting for somebody to tap you and now tell you, okay, now it's all right for you to be what God made you to be? If you need that, all right, here, I'll do it. It's all right for you to be what God made you to be. There, done. Go. Be what God made you to be. Stop looking to man. Don't look to us. Don't look to anyone. Listen, we don't know even how much longer this site is even going to be allowed to be up. All right? And we've had two DNS attacks. You know, over recent times, thank God for the team that has, just been able to work through those and get things back online again. But hey, you know, we're a small team. We do what we can. But yeah, I mean, for one of a number of different reasons. So listen, there's audios in here. Grab what you need, download what you want. It's all there. It's all free. Everything's always been free. Just But realize that, you know, these are there just as a blessing and a support and an encouragement for you, and to be a part of support for you, my brothers and sisters, part of the body of Christ. But do what God asks for you to do. Don't look for any man out there to give you a word or a truth that is already in you. We encourage one another in that which we already know, because we're eternal beings connected to the Spirit, and we live in eternity. That is our place. And right now we're in this temporal reality for a window and a season of time, because God has sent us here for a purpose. And we learn lessons on an individual level, because that's part of our own growth and development and the joy of the saints. And we also are part of the macro thing that God is doing, the larger thing, the bigger picture of what God is doing in the earth right now. Flow with Him. But it's not going to flow if you're looking for somebody else to be your gateway, to be the spout for you, the spigot, the bottleneck, the funnel. It's not going to come through somebody else for you, all right? Between you and the Father. Your gateway is Jesus. He is the gate. That's it. No one else. So connect, flow, walk with Him, and trust. It's an amazing time to be part of what God is doing. And also, brothers and sisters, pray. Your prayers are incredible. When you're directed by the Spirit of God, when you pray, things change. Read that word, be encouraged in the truth, and live. Christ Jesus has given you life, so live. With that, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Always love to hear from you guys. All right, hey, we'll talk to you sometime soon. God bless you. Bye.